Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Faith Class Radio.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political, or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
This is Selena Oliveira, president of Urban Glory Campaigns. Airing tonight is a special broadcast. We look forward to our audience expanding globally and the glorious gospel and doctrine of Christ continually stirred in hearts across the globe. If you would like to partner with us, whether it's with a monthly or a one-time contribution, we appreciate your giving. Visit our website at www.urbanglorycampaigns.web.com and go to our partners page. That's www.urbanglorycampaigns.web.com and go to our partners page. Stay tuned for tonight's broadcast.
Stay tuned. In tonight's broadcast, you will hear a blast from past of Faith Class Radio, formerly known as Rhema Remnant Radio. Stay tuned for Empowering the Righteous Conscience. You do not want to miss it.
Hello, this is LaVon Greeland. In 2000, I decided to start a minister's fellowship that was very successful on social media networks of old. And recently, by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, the Lord told me to relaunch it in a more organized and consistent pattern. And I believe that I have a ministry to offer to ministers at their convenience. And it's simply by joining what we call The Call. The Call is an operation for ministers to collaborate on creative concepts that advance the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. I want you to join us on The Call. Get information about how you can be a part of it. You don't have to be in any type of affiliation. All you have to do is have a desire to be called for the ministry and seek the ministry to advance on earth as it is in heaven, because we're all about the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we welcome you to join The Call and get involved in relevant, revelatory training for today so you can be the minister that God has called you to be, with the backing of a community of faith that has endless mouths. God bless you and thank you for joining me on this call. Join us on The Call, The Call, The Call, The Call, The Call, The Call.
UGC is social. Visit us and follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/urban_glory and on Facebook by searching Urban Glory Campaign.
Turn with me to Hosea chapter 10, and I'll read one verse tonight. It goes in verse 12, and tonight's lesson is entitled Empowering the Righteous Conscience. Empowering the Righteous Conscience. The scripture says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is the time, it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Hosea was written to demonstrate the steadfastness and unveiling of God's love for Israel. In spite of their continued unfaithfulness, through Hosea's marital experience, the book shows us that the heart of a loving and compassionate God longs to bless people with the knowledge of himself and all that he has for them intimately, so they can have meaning in their mind. In keeping with this purpose, the theme of Hosea is a strong testimony against the northern kingdom of Israel because it has been unfaithful to its covenant relationship with the Lord. As is demonstrated in the widespread of corruption seen in the book of Hosea, morality was scarce in life, both publicly and privately. corruption which living is in. So through the prophet speaking to reveal the prophetic utterances to his countrymen, he encouraged them to repent and to return with a contrite heart to their patiently ever loving God. Of course, you know, Hosea is known in the scripture for his marriage to the harlot as a state of symbolically revealing how Israel had fallen so from their covenant relationship with God. I often say whenever you study the Word of God, it's important not only that you look at the dispensationally tells you what happened in the moment of time, but it doesn't tell you why. And so the seven stages of dispensation that many people claim that we have entered into or either passed through lack true understanding because there is no heart knowledge or there is no covenant knowledge affording influence in their observances to the text. And so there's a class that I've written called Embracing the World of Covenant, looking at the scriptures through a covenant context. And when I thought about the teachings that we have had through this ministry, especially last year, there were some very many teachings that were brought out, cultivating divine reality, this ministry out sick, being established in righteousness. I reviewed that from empowering the preacher's prayer life 7 years ago. I found that this righteousness, all righteousness is an epidemic. It's a matter that requires special attention. And you can never exhaust the study of righteousness, especially when it pertains to the consciousness that God demands us to have. In chapter 10, Hosea is reminding Israel that all the attempts to go outside of their covenant with God, truly would be utterly cast down, and then would only resolve would be to come to terms to the invested attempts to show in the potency of righteousness. So they have a prophetic foreshadowing ultimately with Christ, with sacrificial and supernatural resolve. This attempt of seed sowing is a redemptive work of the resurrection of Christ. So in observing to the Word of God, the impression of the Spirit pricked my heart on the righteousness that is wrought rightfully endowed through Christ. And although there is a counterfeit form of righteousness, his self-righteousness, until the believer embraces their right standing with their relationship with God, they will be seriously limited as we explore righteousness in light of redemption. I believe that the heart will be illuminated to the advantages of a new perspective ascribed through righteousness. So you'll hear in my lesson tonight, we emphasize the word righteous conscience. Righteous conscience. And I'm reminded of Timothy when Paul is writing to Timothy, warning him of the immaturity that would come in the church. It would be as a result of the children, those who are still desiring milk. And they should be on leaders because they're not acquainted with the doctrine of righteousness. Righteousness is a doctrine that comes from the revelation of redemption. And until we get an understanding of what we have through what Christ has done on the cross, we will never come into this knowledge that sets us above and beyond righteousness. And I find that the redemptive work has to be studied a little more because many of the concepts that are given out through our theologies don't point to the reformation that comes as a result of the reconciliation that was attained at the resurrection of Jesus. And so, yeah, I'm using the big words because I'm supposed to be a big class. Those of you who are listening, we have shallowed our Christian experience. And the key to us accepting salvation is the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That not only awakens him from the dead, but awakens us to salvation that comes through faith in his blood, through faith in his name, through faith in his authority. So we got to go back to these doctrines. We have to be diligent doctrinal constructors as the mandate was given to me of the Holy Spirit several years ago to teach doctrinally, to review doctrinally to the ministers of the gospel what we should believe. Are you conveying the righteousness that is afforded through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus? It is proper context? Or are we sliding and projecting a resistive work that is still under the scrutiny insecurities of the old covenant? A good book, three books to study, I'll give you five books to study, to ensure and to empower your insight on the redemptive work that awakens the righteous conscience. The first book, of course, is the book of Romans, because Romans teaches us the Roman road, the way to salvation. And Romans also gives an apologetic dialogue on what righteousness through faith by grace versus the righteousness that was attempted to come through the law. So apologetically, we learn through the book of Romans what it means to accept this righteousness by faith. Also, Galatians shows us a vivid picture of the uncertainty that the New Testament church had in truly establishing themselves in the righteousness of God because of the law. So Galatians is a good book. The first book I would recommend is the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is the Magna Carta to the church. The church of Ephesus gives us a good picture of the theology that is presented to them. Come to that this is an awakening of the spirit, but we have access by the spirit to faith. And the new man is created in this particular avenue. We'll talk about that a little later. And then fourthly, I would recommend that you go back to the category of the law, because in order to know that you're redeemed from the law, the resurrection of what the Lord Jesus has come from, you can only look at the Gospels, but you need to look at the law of the covenant, of the old covenant, to understand what you're redeemed from and why these laws were placed. And so you need to know the Ten Commandments and the Levitical priesthood order of the results through their sacrificial services. So when they offered the different types of offerings, the nine different types of offerings, the nine different types of feasts in the scripture, you'll be able to better communicate why the book of Romans and Ephesians and Galatians are vital. And so after you look at the section or the category of the law books of the Bible, then simply look at Hebrews, that says that we have a covenant established, a new covenant that is established upon better promises. But one of those things is that covenant would be enstitched in our minds to a divine act of God at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so it's important that we preach the gospel in a way that revelation can be attributed. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Scripture goes on to say, how can they hear without preaching? And how can the preacher let it be sent? We need to make certain that we are in place to be sent by God to proclaim these messages. So tonight's again is entitled Empowering the Righteous Conscience. But the only way you can empower something is if you have access to that power. Amen. So let me give you a definition of what the word righteous conscience is. The righteous conscience is the revelation that is obtained at the point of the recognition of our Lord Jesus' finished work. Now I want you to pay emphasis, especially when you see the notes, on the word at the point of recognition. Because I think sometimes because of the lack of teaching on the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus, that we don't really resort to getting to that point. Scripture says, like this, he laughed and said all the times when I'm teaching, that with a heart man believes unto righteousness, the gateway to righteousness is our righteous conscience. The heart, he said, is the conscience, and the heart of man is not talking about that muscle, that rhythm that circulates the blood system of our body, but it is the mind, the governing faculties that communicate to the body what the spirit and the soul and the intent are, and which ones are correct. The word of God helps us clear the channel for the spirit within us to be enlightened so that God can convey inwardly how we should display ourselves externally. And the righteous conscience brings us to that revelation at the point that we recognize that Jesus did finish his work on the cross. But if we don't know what that work on the cross was and what that all entailed, we will never get to that point. Hence why grace is rarely understood in the body of Christ, because we have not done enough investigation on what Jesus truly finished at the cross called Calvary. So when we receive this revelation that is attained at the point of recognition of the Lord Jesus' finished work achieved at Calvary, the mentality, the mandate, and the motivation to live out our faith will come as a result of our reliance on the grace of God. On the grace of God. Now, you know, I'm building a case up to the revelation of grace, but before we do that, we really need to deal with redemption. And the righteous conscience is a revelation of the reality of our redemption in Christ. Amen. So the purpose of this lesson is to simply, to empower the method of righteousness in our consistent communication to the body of believers, and we are entrusted with as stewards of the administration of grace. And then the goal is to systematically review the fundamentals of the doctrine of righteousness that builds a comprehensive approach to empowering the method on relying on the grace of God to conform us to the reality of the potency of His righteousness. And the objective is to apologetically employ the effort of theology empowered through the proclamation of the gospel that empowers the righteous conscience. We will achieve this goal by the review of key contextual driven scriptures that appeal to believers of being developed in righteousness. Now, I know I listened to that passage, but you can always download these teachings and review it again. But one of the things I want you to understand is that if there is no instruction on doctrine of righteousness, then there will be no awakening to a consciousness of righteousness. And a lot of people are now being enslaved and satanically driven because they don't know who they are in Christ. And the only way they can be taught who they are in Christ is by the revelation that comes from the instruction in righteousness. For that to occur, then the minister of the Gospels must begin to learn and be instructed in the ways of righteousness. And so far, we have downplayed and underestimated the potency of grace, so much so that grace is not grace. It is simply an escape rope to cover up persistent sin. So, in recognition, there's an awakening to a reformation, which will develop a reconciliation at the revelation of who we have been redeemed, how we have been rather redeemed through the power of the revelation of Christ. Salvation, then, needs to really have solutions at the end of our explanation. I was listening to a Christian lead someone into the Lord, and it didn't really seem like that Christian knew that what they were introducing that person to was truly a reformation and a transformation that could totally translate them into the very heart and intention of God. And several reasons why that is. One, they don't have the knowledge that is needed to live by faith and not by sight. Two, they don't have a revelation of what Jesus truly accomplished at the finished work of Calvary. So they don't have a revelation of the faith. They don't have a revelation of His finished work. They don't have a revelation of the authority that the Father had given to the Lord Jesus. And so with those three lacking, they can't confidently tell the individual what it means to accept the righteousness that comes through faith by works. So the righteousness, the grace is not a gift of God. It's a scapegoat. And I was listening to another preacher the other day, and they was like, well, we're in the dispensation of grace, so people got to get ready and get right, or they're going to get out of here. No, the dispensation of grace means grace is afforded, is the influence that God gives to the believer to exist in confidence through the power and the provision of the Holy Ghost. And so grace, the dispensation of grace should be glorious among the believers. Not dooming or the last escape. It should be an awakening almost into the eternity of the eternal judgment and the confirmation of all things that happened in Christ. So we need to go back to the foundation. Now, those of you who are overseers and bishops and apostles, apostles and pastors, prophets, evangelists, and teachers. We need to look back at the essential doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been telling people how to get so much so that they have lost sight of the authenticity of the transformative gospel that awakened us to insights through the redemption of the revelation of his finished work and our relationship with the Father. But because this is not being taught properly in the church, we have a congregation of a bunch of sinners that are not really existing in the grace of God that keeps us above reproach and allows us the power to keep us from falling. So we need to teach on the empowering of the righteous conscience. Now, in order to empower the righteous conscience, you've got to get some simple teaching to this and let's be establishing righteousness. See, if you don't know that you're establishing righteousness, you won't confidently exist in this righteousness that is needed to transform your conscience. See, when the conscience is seared, it's because of sin. But when the conscience is renewed by the regeneration of the rejuvenation and the regeneration of the Holy Ghost, it is transformed and it is free from sin and it alive to the power of Christ. And it can have intercession. It can know, it can come bold to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find help in the time of need. Amen. Well, let's get into the lesson tonight because I haven't even got to it yet. So we want to look at this. And why did I say apologetically? We need to definitively be able to define our terms and state our cases clearly about what we believe on the grace of God that transforms us and transforms our conscience to serve a living God inwardly versus externally. Amen. So in order to do that, we have to state the sanity that comes through righteousness. State sanity is saying, look, where does this state at? Where do we derive our sanity in righteousness? You know, sanity is a state where one achieves stability in the mind. So we need to know where these things go. Tell me in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. I'm going to read, I'm going to go old school tonight. We're going to go old school, that means, I mean, I have my notes typed out, but I like to go to the scripture to kind of read in context. Of course, you know, the next four scriptures after this one is going to be extrapolated, emphasizing a point. And, you know, of course, I don't encourage the pinpointing of the text, of Texas, because I would rather give you the context than to create a pretext. But for the sake of time on the faith, I'm giving you the scripture emphasis, but I'll read it to you in context. Of course, you know, 3:5, in order to read 3:5, we need to go back up to Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Put them in mind and be subject to the principalities and powers to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men, for we ourselves are also sometimes foolishness, obedient, deceived, serving liars, lusting, pleasures, living in malice, and envy, and hateful, and hate one another. But after the kindness of the love of God, and our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to the mercy he has saved us by the washing and the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shared which he shared on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should live and be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying that these things that I will affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Amen? So in Titus chapter 3, it kind of outlines the objective of developing righteousness. And it lets you know, look, there's a way that we live, the conduct that we live contrary, but for the sake of the good works, we need to be established in righteousness. Now, see, the scripture says that you will know the tree by the fruit it bears. And God is looking at us to produce what we have been instinctively, how we have been reformed. If we have been reformed by our awakening to the revelation of the finished work of Jesus, that revelation should produce the righteousness that it took to achieve that revelation. And so, kind of let us know that. Now jump over to the address of the church of Ephesus. the church of Ephesus. And, of course, you know, that's the book of Ephesians. And let's see what Paul scribes in. And, you know, of course, Titus, Paul was writing to Titus at the time, or a pastor. And now he's going to the church of Ephesus. And, of course, you know, I mean, Timothy was at Ephesus when he was writing here. And, of course, Paul was doing an apostolic administration here. And in the fourth chapter, he begins to see very strategically about what it means to be recreated, not necessarily recreated, but regenerated in the Holy Ghost. He brings another life to this, of course, because you know in verse 3, he says, never enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope, one Lord, one faith, one destiny, one God, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, but in everyone is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, I want you to understand that I'm redundantly bringing you back to these points of grace because the redemptive work that releases the revelation of our empowerment and our conscience to righteousness is going to be as a result of God imputing grace for us to obtain this righteousness that comes by faith. And faith without work is dead. So there is a part that we have to play in awakening to this insight of faith. Now, in Ephesians 4, it says in verse 24, and actually, let's start in verse 17 and then read through about 26. It says, this I think therefore intensify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk after, not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their world, of their mind, having their understanding bodies being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their world, their heart, who being in past sinners have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to all works of uncleanness, to greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, it so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth that is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation which is lifestyle of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the what? In the spirit of your mind, and that he put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Hello, Faith Class Radio listeners. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaign. Listen, I wanted to come on tonight to let you know that we appreciate that you are listening to the broadcast, and we want to hear from you. Email us anytime at urbanglorycampaign@gmail.com. We want to hear from you. Give us your prayer requests, any comments, any compliments concerning the broadcast, praise reports, anything that you want to communicate to us concerning the broadcast or concerning anything concerning your life. We want to either agree with you in prayer. You can call us 24/7 at our prayer center at 202-709-PC4U. That's 7248. Call us anytime. You can also text message us at that same number. Also, those of you who are business professionals, those of you who are entrepreneurs, those of you who are strategic stewards of your money, we have a special stewardship program that is ran by Reverend Breland and a team of finance specialists that are kingdom persons, they're believers, and they found difference between one in particular that you can take a small amount of money and turn it into larger amounts, very similar to the talent parable in the scriptures. To find out more information, email seedplotproject@gmail.com. Seedplotproject@gmail.com. That's SEED as in David, plot, E as in Paul, LOT, project, project@gmail.com for more information. Or you can always call us directly at Urban Glory Campaign. Just say, I'm interested in the Seed Plot Project or the Stewardship Program. 202-630-4842 for UGC. We look forward to hearing from you. We are ecstatic that you're listening to the broadcast. Tell your friends, family, coworkers, colleagues, everybody, associates, neighbors, that Urban Glory Campaigns has a special broadcast for everyone, every believer, to build their faith, to grow in faith, and to grow in God. Faith Class Radio. Faith Class is also on Facebook, and it's going to go on to other social sites as well. We're going to expand the class. There's going to be many programs that will extend from Faith Class. The radio broadcast is the core. We have Facebook Faith Class. Check us out on Facebook. Go to Urban Glory's profile page or page, and you'll find out more information. Connect with us. We want to hear from you. Have a great night. Glad you're listening to the broadcast. Looking to hear from you, and tune in next week.
It's time to celebrate. This month, we celebrate our founder's birthday. December 30th is our founder's birthday. To say happy birthday to him, give us a call, 202-630-4842. Give your shout out and happy birthday, and we'll be sure to have him hear it. Again, that's 202-630-4842.
First Thessalonians 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night.